Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is!
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot. That's what she said. First circus. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Iceman Insights into overtime. Do we still have you after that fantastic intro?
Pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was well done.
I like the mix of all of your finest moments.
Can you
say Valtteri Filppula?
I was actually going to bring up Valtteri Filippula.
Do we need a beat part of that?
I said Filippula. Did I?
I don't think you said that the first time.
That's a good thing it's on the podcast. The FCC isn't here.
Yeah, that's true.
But
this podcast is rated R.
Yeah. Oh, that would be sweet. Till we got mom calling.
Yeah.
But Tampa Bay, Stevie Eiserman picked up Vitaleri Filippula. And
it's working out pretty well so far.
Yeah, so far, so. Yeah, that would be one that I might have to chalk up another mistake that I made there.
Well, it's early. You know,
it is early.
The stuff is still going to right itself. The Rangers are not going to be this bad. The Flames are not going to be this good.
I'm not too sure about the Rangers.
Well, yeah, okay. That's, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Soupy's Devils. Whew.
Well, we knew that was coming. Yeah. That's just, I'm sorry, man. But when Kovalchuk abandoned ship, that was just
brutal.
Classless. That was just classless. And I understand you want to go home, you want to be with the family. I understand all that. But you got to make that decision before Parise leaves.
Yeah.
You can't hambone the organization like that.
Yeah, that's a really tough situation. And it might take them a couple more years before they really get out from under it.
So anyways, what are we talking about? Are we talking about my Leafs? 6-1 on the year?
No.
Oh, David Clarkson, you're so selfish. You can't do that in a preseason game and get suspended for 10 games. That's horrible. Team is whooping bottom side.
Without him.
And then he's going to come back.
You know, on a serious note, though, you get a team that's rolling like that. What happens when he does come back?
Oh, you put him right in.
Well, I mean, obviously you put him back in the lineup, but where do you put him? You know, if you've got top lines that are working.
He was going into the second line with Kadri.
You think they'll do that?
Oh, yeah. That's been the plan all along. See, they're not winning because he isn't in the lineup. They're winning because they are a tight unit. They've got great chemistry, and everyone knows that if you mess with us, someone's going to beat the snot out of you. And everyone is feeling safe. Kessel's going into corners. Kadri's going into corners. Bozak's going into corners because they know that daddy's coming home pretty soon and he's going to beat up your daddy. So it's that confidence.
Never underestimate the importance of a tight unit.
Exactly.
Thank God this is the podcast,
right?
That made
my first circus twitch.
And now we're going to do taters and testicles with Steven Rickard.
But I think you see a lot of the same thing. This is what Coach Pyle is putting together in this Evansville locker room. He's telling the guys. It was really cool. I think I tweeted it, but I'm not sure. But he said, you know, not everyone's going to get along in this locker room. And that's fine. I understand. I was a player, and there's guys that I couldn't stand.
And everybody comes from different walks of life.
Because they're D-bags. But when you step out on that ice, you've got to cover your buddy's back anywhere. And he said, I'm not telling anyone to fight. I will never tell you have to go out there and fight someone. You do that on your own terms when you think it's right. But I will tell you that we have to find a way to stick up for each other every game. And
yeah.
If we do that, we can put something special together.
Yeah. But I think, from what I've seen, this is a really tight-knit
yeah.
group already. And you know, you don't know how that's going to change maybe a little bit with all the send-downs and certain guys getting cut. But it just seems like it's already this brotherhood of guys. That the guys that have been here, the guys that returned from last season, are all really tight, but it's not like they're a clique that's separate from all the new guys.
Yep.
They've embraced everyone. And I thought it was awesome Monday on Iceman Live. The show wasn't even over yet. And the four guys that were there for the show are up on stage, and all of a sudden this wave of players comes in. And the next thing you know, almost the entire team is at Beef O'Brady's.
The entire team was there.
Was it everyone?
It was everyone. The only one that didn't show up was Donnie Harris. He was not feeling in the mood because he had gotten cut. But even Chris Forfar, who had been cut, came out to be with the guys. And Chris Forfar, super dude, huge. I had no idea how much that guy worked out. And he played really well in camp. He had made this club, and we got those late send-downs
yeah.
from Springfield, and it really just – and it was at that point – you think a little bit now why you understand why Fort Wayne operates the way they do. They have no affiliations.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean you can't take players in.
Right.
But
you're just not obligated to do so.
And these new guys that are coming down, they're going to be great guys. They're going to help us out. We're going to be so happy they're here. But as far as I was concerned, I was ready to let those guys go to war.
Mm-hmm.
Just what we had in camp. That
right.
we didn't need anyone else coming down.
Well,
now,
and
not saying Sakaris and Seidel, but
right.
the other guys
well,
that
and,
came
and,
down.
And Pyle said, you know, I would have been happy going with the guys we had. I hated having to cut somebody else. So where did Seidel come from? Was he a send down?
Yes, I believe so. You know, I'm not sure. He might have been a guy that
I thought he was just a free agent.
He might have been. He was a guy. There's a few guys that were on Pyle's radar going back to the summer.
Uh-huh.
And he was just kind of monitoring it and everything else. And it just kind of worked out that he wanted him to come into camp. So he gave him a call and had him come into camp. And I guess they settled on a deal. So
And he's not from far away either. He's from suburban Chicago. So he didn't have to come far.
Yeah. So, and I don't know that much about him. I apologize. I've met him a few times. I've watched him in camp, but I don't know him like the guys that I had the
yeah.
extra week with. So
I was impressed by him in the scrimmage though. I think if he plays like that against the opposition, then I think he's going to be a nice addition
yep.
to this team. It's on this in the same respect, you know, watching that scrimmage and seeing how fast the guys were and how physical they were with their own teammates. Oh man, I would not want to be a member of the opposing team. Look out, Kalamazoo Wings. You may come into the Ford Center and win that game, but you are going to take a beating
yes.
in the process.
There's no doubt about it, and they pretty much all hit every one of them. And to be honest, you know, I'm really excited. We talked about it last year. I am a huge Dylan Clark fan. I think that guy's fantastic. I had hoped, I had predicted, it fell short, but I had predicted he was going to get 30 goals. He was on such a tear, even with all the defections.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought he had a chance of getting 30 goals. I think he'll get it this year for sure.
Yeah.
But, man, I want to watch Shepke. I want to watch Lowry. I want to watch Jason Dale. I want to watch Patrick Kennedy. Because they're going to dump that puck in the corner, and they're going to run people –
mm-hmm.
the holy moly over. I mean, it's just it's going to be a train wreck out
yeah.
there.
And
all those guys can score, too. I mean, Jason Dale had, what, he have 18 goals last year, 16 goals?
Something like, it was like fourth on the team in points.
Shepke.
And he was even more productive than that before he came to Evansville when he was like a top-line guy.
That reminds me of tangent if you want to go there. But and Shepke.
That's what overtime's all about.
Okay.
We can tangent all we want.
Shepke can that guy has always scored. Going back to Michigan State, and even looking at his stats, I think he had 4 or 5 goals with us last year, but he only played
like
15
yeah.
games or something. So you prorate that out.
And he was a third liner
yeah.
the whole time he was here.
And so you prorate that out. You times it by 5 to get your 72, 75 games. That's another 20-goal scorer. And
right.
he's physical. And he
yeah.
moves the puck well. And he's got great vision. I mean, this team is going to be – man, I'm really geeked for this hockey club.
I am too. So here's a question for you. You got 21 guys. If we have the 21 that we have right now, if you look at this, you can only dress 18. Which 3 do you scratch for the opener?
You can go all kinds of ways. First of all, are guys banged up? I don't know if there's guys banged up. I do see guys getting ice bags. on him. So yeah, if there's a guy that's a little bit banged up or something else,
do you give him a maintenance day?
Yeah, yeah, because you got a whole another week before we're in Kalamazoo.
Right.
So if someone is not 100%, that's an easy. Even if they're like 95%, I'm sitting them.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. I probably pick on the rookies. A Dallas Earhart,
Lauren Barron, maybe.
Yeah, Lauren Barron. I don't know who else is. I'm trying to. My mind is running through the forwards, but whoever the rookies are, and that's another thing I need to correct. No rookies; they're first year pros, and that is something that that Pyle has put in place. There really? Is no rookie hazing. There's nothing else. You, the day you walked in for training camp, is your first professional day on the job. You are a professional.
You're not a rookie.
You are not a rookie. You're I like a professional. That. So the first year pros is who I would eyeball. Just, you know, this place is going to be off the kilt, yeah. Man. I mean, this
you don't want guys to be in over their head
well,
with
no.
the atmosphere.
Yeah, if you've got to, if you're going to put a first year pro out, let's put them out at Kalamazoo.
Right.
You know, so that's just one quick little thought. But I honestly think this team is so good. Even some of the guys that we released the last couple of days could easily play for this club.
Oh, yeah.
72 games.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any problems with putting anyone in the lineup.
Yeah.
You're just looking at chemistry and injury, really.
Right. You know, and Dixie and Soupy here have both said it, and I've said it too, that, you know, you look at the quality of players that have been cut and think about what that says about the team that's left.
Yep.
And you look at guys that we depended on as being like the three defensemen that got cut that were going to be returnees. You look at those guys played critical roles for this team last year.
Overmeyer was a captain.
Yeah. And you turn around this year and they're not even good enough to make the team. Yep. What does that say about how well this team has turned around in one offseason?
Yep.
So it's awesome. You had a tangent.
Yes, I had a tangent and you kind of alluded to it as well. But I was thinking about Trent Vogelhuber and the fact that he was the only guy last year that played a regular shift, and he was a plus. And here Todd Robinson is at minus 22, minus 29, whatever that god-awful
number was. 157.
And Vogelhuber's gone on, and he's played preseason game against the Pittsburgh Penguins for the Blue Jackets. He's up in Springfield. This guy couldn't get off the third line. And I was thinking about how did that make any sense?
Yeah.
And how do you keep a guy? The same with what you mentioned with Shepke. When your top line center, I don't care if he's your captain or whatever, he's minus 25, and you got a guy that's plus 6, how does he not get first line minutes?
Yeah.
And your minus 22 captain gets protected, and you give him third line minutes and then use him on the power play.
Right.
And you know why, but it just dawned on me. That whole season last year was just a train wreck, and it dawned on me, holy crap, we had Trent Vogelhuber here.
Yeah.
And we gave him third line minutes.
Yeah. Well, and he was a healthy scratch some nights. That's the crazy thing. But, you know, I think that whole chasm between what Patafi likes to call the Muskegon Mafia and the rest of the team, I think that was a big part of it.
Yep.
Was, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say that Crom was playing favorites, but he had his guys, and they were kind of immune to, you know, being shifted down the roster, essentially. And that makes a big difference in the locker room.
Yep.
When you got a guy like Todd Robinson who is just, you know, you have carte blanche. It doesn't matter what you do. You're still going to get top line minutes. You're still going to be on the first power play unit. And you got a guy like Vogelhuber who's sent down and plays his butt off and is a plus player on a terrible team, and he's still stuck on the third line. And that creates a big rift in the locker room. And Jason Dale talked about that on Iceman Live a little bit about we've gotten rid of the cliques in the locker room, and it's one big tight-knit group this year. And I think that is a great difference. You know, you're just starting off on the right foot. You're not starting behind the eight ball, essentially, because of that difference in the locker room and of having one group that's held to one standard and another group and everyone else, you know, that's held to a different standard.
So are we ready to get into this now? Have we even hit the notes?
No, we haven't.
I haven't even looked.
So how far are we? What
we're at 13 and
we're
a
13
half.
Minutes? Okay. That's a good thing there's really no clock.
Oh, my gosh.
We can go as long as we want. So
inside Iceman headquarters?
Yeah, we're going to take a look inside Iceman headquarters. We want people to get their money's worth if they listen to this free podcast. I'm telling you.
I want to get my money's worth of this
of your job. Well, you can say as much or as little as you want, but you know, just the first issue I wanted to talk about was you've mentioned that the radio equipment that that was used in the past was actually Terry Ficarelli's own stuff. So you've had to kind of learn on the fly since taking over of not only what to buy, but then actually going through and buying it to have equipment to broadcast this season. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
And I don't know what Fick had, but I went out, I called Mike Maduno from the Kalamazoo Wings. I called Nick Brunker out with the Cincinnati Cyclones. I don't know if you've ever listened to Nick Brunker broadcast. He's pretty cool. And I've listened to a lot of the other away broadcasters, but I really like the way he calls a game.
I've actually exchanged a few emails with him, but I've never actually talked to him or listened to him.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. I called Coach Pyle's former broadcaster, Dustin Bixby. He's down in Atlanta, and I talked with him, and I talked with Kevin McGlue out with the Colorado Eagles. And I also talked with the one guy out in Fort Wayne. He's in charge of their media relations. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Not Bob Chase.
No, I didn't talk to Bob Chase. But and just
Bob Chase doesn't know what these technological things are.
And I just said, what am I going to run into on the road? And what what have you guys dealt with? And what have you put in place so that I'm not shocked when I get out there? And every one of them was awesome. They all talked to me for 15, 20 minutes, answered all my questions. Mike Maduno up in Kalamazoo turned me on to a place called Broadcasters Warehouse that actually gives discounts to professional teams.
Ooh.
And so I didn't get what I wanted. So a little the whole industry has changed about 5 years ago, and everything's focused on the internet.
Yeah.
It's to send the fastest, cleanest signal possible is an internet. It's called a codec system, but it takes the radio signal and it turns it into a digital codec, and then you send that signal via internet to an access point that is patched into the radio station. And like all technology that is brand new, it is patented and it is expensive.
Yeah.
So I lost that battle. This is kind of the same tried and true method of telephone broadcasting. But I had, I've worked with WEOA, and they've got two engineers over there, and their names are Frank and David, and they have been fantastic as well. And ironically enough, Frank said, do you know what I really want to get this station to? I want to get this station to using Zara Radio Player and using Skype as a source for sending the signal from the remote to the radio station. Hello, WYIR.
That's what we've been doing
for 4 or 5 years. So we had that. I had that experience. He was excited that I had that experience. We also had, after the first live broadcast, that over the air did not go so well because I sent the signal out via cell phone, and a guy named, I think his name is Bob, or is it Tom?
Tom Gore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom. He just ragged on it.
I've talked to him.
He's
a Booster Club member, and I've talked to him. He's a nice guy.
Oh.
I mean, he wasn't like being mean or anything. It was just basically, FYI.
It was more than FYI.
Well, yeah.
It was a critique, but it was not only a critique on my broadcast, but on sports broadcast in the Tri-State.
Right.
Well, I direct messaged him and said, hey, thanks for the insight. Anytime you've got, if you are listening, tell me how it sounds. Tell me if you're on
stream
AM,
issues or...
well, are you listening on AM, FM, the stream, and what time? If you would do that, I would appreciate it. And he emailed me right back and said that he's a broadcast engineer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How about that?
And he said he just talked about Skype and everything else, which confirmed what the other engineers were telling me. So then it was just knuckling down and working with the system and everything else, and that's what we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had that little one of many brain malfunctions during the live show on Monday night, but I had Jeffrey Walker, old friend of the show,
another radio guy.
Yes, he is heading over to Swander to listen to the game, and he listened to the broadcast while he was driving to give me feedback. And so he had actually texted me while I was interviewing somebody, and it caused it. But he said it sounded so awesome. So
good.
It is just – it's technology and moving along and everything else. And I'm sure there's going to be hiccups along the way,
yeah,
and little things that I'm going to learn. But,
well, and that's part of the thing, too, is people have to keep in mind, when you're broadcasting, you can't hear the broadcast.
Nope.
So
all
you know,
I hear what's in my headphones.
Right. So if you're listening, you know, if there's a problem, you have to alert someone to that problem. But do so in a, you know, in a nice way. Just say, hey, FYI, X, Y, and Z are wrong. You might want to look into that. There's no need to get belligerent with someone, and not saying Tom did that or anyone has
but
you definitely, you just, you know, keep a level head and explain what happened, and the better you can explain it, the easier it's going to be for you to fix it.
There's so many moving parts between the radio station, my own laptop.
Just not between your ears.
Yes. The broadcast equipment and each individual microphone, and they all contribute to static and everything else, and linkage issues and everything.
So. Well, and I think that, you know, one of the biggest problems is going to continue to be with Iceman Live with getting the guests to speak up.
Yeah.
And I think that's just when people aren't used to being on the radio.
And that's why I bought
the
headset.
Right.
So I may have to do like what Matt Krug was doing to me and just shove the microphone right in their mouth.
And that may be what you have to do, because, you know, they can, even if they're speaking up, if they've got the headset on and the microphone is still 4 inches away from their mouth, it's just not going to pick them up very well. And especially when you're in a crowded place, you know, it may come across halfway decent on the radio. But when you're live in the audience and people are talking and there's people that aren't there for the broadcast, you can't hear anything if you're three tables away from the stage. So it that's just going to be something that's going to have to be adjusted over time. And, you know,
and that's
people,
something
people have to be patient.
I've talked to John Greenwell out at Brief O'Brady's. I talked to Shane at Backstage about the crowd noise and people talking. So we're brainstorming ideas on how to limit that as well.
Short of standing up and saying, shut the hell up.
No, Shane was actually leaning towards that method. I'm like, Shane, you can't, don't scare away. They're still your customers, you know? And he's like, I want to hear the show. Oh, my gosh. So, but, yeah, that's technology and budgets and some of the business aspect of being inside Iceman headquarters.
Yeah. Well, talking about Iceman Live a little bit, I thought the show this week was really good. The four guys that were guests, great guests. Matt Krug is just a nut job. Hilarious.
He has become one of my favorite people in that room. And those guests, I always try to, like last week I had the theme about, it was all
Western Coast
guys. And so I always like to have themes because, one, it keeps me focused. Because I'll be off talking about flowers and bangles and tea and crumpets and everything else as I wander down through the Alice of Wonderland rabbit hole that is my mind.
You watch too many things with Ivy.
Yes.
So.
This was a post-practice, and sometimes I hang out with the guys and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have work and sometimes I just want to give them their space because they're awesome to hang out with, but
you don't want to be there all the time.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy.
Don't want to make yourself a nuisance.
Yes, but
like,
I went over
like
the
certain other people do that will remain nameless
for the moment.
For the moment.
I got invited over to lunch, and we were all hanging out and eating lunch together, and most of the guys left, and I ended up at a table with those four guys, and Donnie Harris was there as well, and we were just cutting it up and laughing, and you just saw that chemistry, and that's why I said, are you guys ready to go on the show together? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, no problem. So that was one. Usually I have a theme, but this one was just, it was a show in a box. It was right there, and I knew
you
it was
going
to be a fantastic show. So
It was Zach. Really.
Yes.
The Coneheads. It was really, I thought it was a really fun show. And the roundtable segment at the end when all four
Which
of them
was,
were up there together.
And I got to give a couple of shout-outs. Matt Krug was the one that came up to me. Hey, he pulled me aside, and he said, dude, I've been doing this for 5 years. I've bounced around from town to town. If you don't do the Q&A, you're going to lose. If you don't give fans a voice, you're going to lose them. And I said, dude, I have some control issues about giving up that mic on a radio station. And he said, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And I said, do you believe that enough to come on the show? And so that's why the first Q&A was with Matt Krug, is because he was the one.
He handled it well.
He was bringing me along as a professional, which I really appreciated. Jason Dale came up with the idea of the horseshoe thing. We were sitting around. We were just kind of talking. Again, it was a post-practice thing, and we were all laughing and chuckling and everything else, and he brought up the view, and we all got a chuckle out of it. And now it's going to be a regular segment of the show. So, you open up your mind. You give people an opportunity to talk and come up with ideas, and yeah. you give it a shot, and if it blows up in your face, then you laugh
then
about
you move
it
on.
And you move on.
Right.
So.
But, you know, and it's going to evolve over time. You know, it's just like this show. You know, there's a million things that we do now, regular bits and catchphrases and stuff that we didn't have with our first show. And you can't force
just
it.
Just Rickards taters.
Yeah. You can't force it, though. You try things, and if it works, you keep doing it. If it doesn't work, you drop it and move on to something else. But over time, things will happen organically that just become part of the show. And the next thing you know, you've got this whole laundry list of things that are, you know, basically the heart of what it is. And it'll happen over time. And I know there's people that are immediately trying to compare Iceman Live with Derek Benigni to Iceman Live with Terry Ficarelli. And it's, you know, you're comparing apples and oranges. They're both fruits, but it's completely...
Well, exactly.
One of them's a really big fruit. Yeah. And I'll let you determine which one.
Yeah,
but,
that's all me.
But, you know, they are both fruits, but they're still different entities. And you can't look at one and, you can't look at one and try to compare them, because they're two totally different shows. They have the same name, but, you know, this is a new venture with you as the host. So it's going to take some time to work out the kinks and figure out what works and figure out what doesn't work. There's
what
a
kinks?
The host. Otherwise.
Yeah, speaking, once we figure that out, we'll be all set.
Speaking of hosts, though, I do, and you've said it on air too, Backstage and Beefs have been great hosts.
Yep.
It's so nice being able to go to a place that's clean, and it, you know, everything's not sticky, and the service is good, and there's lighting, and it's much more family friendly. And the nice thing is they're both family friendly, but yet they're two different types of atmospheres.
Yeah.
Because Backstage is more of like a
bar.
The bar.
Yep.
And Beefs is more of a restaurant, but they both have, you know, full menus and alcohol and everything. So it's like the best of both worlds. You get a little bit one place and the other is a little bit different, but you get the total package with both of them, and they've both been really good hosts so far. I think it's really, really nice.
I only went to Show Me's a few times, but I always followed it. I'd listen to the show. But then I would follow it on Facebook.
Did you listen to the road broadcast?
The road broadcast of the Iceman Live.
Yeah, you were
no.
looking for the road broadcast?
No. I'd listen to the show. But then the crazy Facebook things, like they put a pool table right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And here we have two venues that want us there. That not only they want us there, they want the fans there, and they want to do special things so that the fans stick around. So they're great partners.
I think that's what bothered people the most, was whenever anyone brought up the idea of doing the show somewhere else, the line was always, oh, well, no one else wants the show.
No. That hasn't been true.
Clearly, other people want the show.
If you were out at Beef O'Brady's, how many waitresses did John bring in for that night? I think he had 7 or 8 waitresses in there just to make sure. And he hired more kitchen staff for all the food requests for those Monday nights. So he's putting money into it just to make sure that everyone has a great experience.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think the show is only going to get better over time. Of course, considering the host, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
But
and there's a ceiling.
Yeah, and it's not very high either.
Nope.
But, yeah, I think it's really fun, and I think people just, you know, be patient as things kind of get figured out, and it's going to take a little time, but eventually the show will hit a definitive format that I think is going to be really fun. Are you planning on continuing having 4 player guests every show?
Between 3 and 4. I just, and it depends. A lot of this has been difficult because I've had to manufacture things to talk about. And
because you're not in season yet.
Yeah, I'm so tired of asking the guys the same questions over and over. Tell me about your college experience. Tell me about your favorite player. But what else is there to talk about?
Right.
So that's been difficult. I would love to go down to less if we have more to talk about
right.
once the season's going on. So, but I also just, that's part of my personality is I like giving a lot of people the microphone so that you get to hear a lot of different perspectives.
Just not the fans.
Well, and man, Dylan Clark was all giving Jason Dale crap. He's like, you wouldn't shut your bleeping mouth and I didn't get any, take any questions from the fan, you big jerk. And Daler's just firing right back. He's like, they had things that they needed to know about me, and I had to help them with their questions. And Dylan Clark's like, that's a bunch of bull crap. I got 8 minutes. So I'm like,
well, then you should have him back on the show
and
next
that's
week.
What I said, Dylan, I'm running through four guys every show. We got to do this till April. Guess what? You're going to get multiple chances.
Yeah, you're going to be on three or four more times at least.
Yeah,
as long as you're
November.
Here.
November. So I will say that Nathan Moon will be one of the guests next week. Yep. Yeah,
very
he approached
nice.
Me. And that's the other thing. We have such a great group of guys. It has been so easy to grab them to say, hey, can you do this for me? Can you do this? Whether it was Ian Frazier with videos, myself with the radio updates, doing the show. They've mm-hmm. all been fantastic, except for Morissette. He's a jerk. No, Andre and Guy being French Canadian, mm-hmm. They struggle a little bit with the language, and so they don't want to get the very first day we asked Andre to do a video, and he said, you help me with the questions, and I said yes, you know, I'm not going to take advantage, I'm going to help you with the questions. He's like, good, because my English isn't very good. So, and his English is awesome, so
yeah.
He just didn't want to get surprised,
you know, their English is a lot better than our French.
Yeah.
Well, real French.
But he is he has helped me out a bunch already too. So the guys are awesome. But yeah, Mooner grabbed me. He's like, "So you ever gonna need me?" I said, "Yeah, next Monday."
Yeah, don't volunteer yourself like that. You're gonna get booked quickly.
So
yeah, I think the four works. I think you could easily cut it down to three, and that would allow more time for the audience Q&A. The problem with audience Q&A is you never know how much time it's gonna take.
Yeah,
you may have a really quiet, reserved audience where you're begging people to ask questions,
which I kind of felt like.
Yeah, and that was why I jumped up there. I didn't plan on asking anything, and then, you know, you're looking around going, anybody?
Yep.
Bueller? and there's no one popping up. I'm like, what the heck? I can get up there and I can riff a couple questions here and there and kill some time. But and then, you know, once it gets going sometimes, then all of a sudden everybody has a question, and then you don't have enough time to get everyone in. It's one of those things where it might take some time to just kind of figure out how to pace the show and when to cut people off, and you're going to have that problem from going to a lot of the shows at Show Me's is some people will linger longer than they really have the room's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to cut someone off. You don't want to be rude, but at the same time, you're like, we got to move it along here.
Did I tell you my Alan York story?
No.
He was a guest on
the first
radio
one,
show.
Right.
And we came out of the commercial break, or we went into the commercial break at 8:40. And I said, all right, this is a story, dude. I am all out of questions for me to ask you. I have no other guests lined up, and we have 20 minutes left to do of a radio show. Can you help me out? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, and I had my notes there and the hockey DB and everything else. Like, you want to ask me about this? You want to ask me about this? And he actually wrote five questions for me, and we came right out of the break.
Lead him
and I was like, so what about this? And it was
no one knows anything.
No,
well, now
knew.
Everybody does.
Well, I have no problem, because I mean, that's how good these guys are, that I mean, they're true professionals, and they help you out when you need to get helped out. So I have no problem telling the stories and making myself look bad, because they really are carrying a lot of the weight for me.
That's good. It's kind of like me with this show.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll move on to the next bullet of Inside Iceman HQ. Can you talk a little bit about all of the – I mean, 2 weeks ago when we were going to do the show, the reason why we didn't do it is there was so much stuff going on with prepping for camp and guys coming into town, and part of that was you trying to get all the radio equipment, all that stuff sorted out. But another big thing was all the paperwork and work visas and contracts and players coming in for their physicals and setting up apartments and getting everyone put into league stat and all that different stuff. Just talk a little bit about the logistical garbage.
League stat, I wanted to get it all in there. One, I want it all in correctly, so that when the season starts, Stephen Halber, who's the crew chief of the off-ice officials and everybody else that works.
What's his last name?
Halber. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Very good. You get a gold star.
How about that? I can't screw off with the names anymore. I guess I can here, but
yeah,
you see that I'm now focused on it, so I haven't said Habler in a long time.
Yeah.
But
until just then.
Yep. But I want to get it all in league stat properly to so that when the season starts, that's all smooth. And it's once you learn it, it's not bad. It does have some interesting issues. Like you select the preseason roster, and then you can build names into it. But I checked out our regular season roster to make sure that there was no names on there, mm-hmm. and there wasn't. I'm like, cool. So I went to the add the player, and I put in a name like Andre Bouvet-Morissette and put all of his data in and everything else, and it added him to the regular season roster. And at the time, we were having some visa issues, not the Iceman personally, but the ECHL.
Right.
And
the government shutdown has been a part of the problem there.
And so I'm like, holy crap, I just put a Canadian on our regular season roster, and the ECHL is having visa issues.
Yeah.
So I go down to edit, and I change it to 2013 preseason roster.
Mm-hmm.
It won't change. Because I entered it on the 2013 regular season,
you can't backtrack.
Back it up, even if you use the edit function. Well, I did that about three or four times before I figured out what was going on. So I had to send multiple emails to LeagueStat to get them to manually send them back to our preseason roster.
<Oops. laughs> So what is with Jake Benigni and Adam Whitmore being in the system?
Before I even got hired in, I was told, yeah, we're interested in you being the voice of the Iceman, but we don't have a contract for you yet. But however, would you like to do this LeagueStat conference call?
You're not even hired yet.
I'm not hired yet, but so I did the LeagueStat conference call, and they walked us through how to handle this and everything else. Really good group of guys. Great informative teleconference. It only took 45 minutes, so it wasn't one of these boring, drawn-out things. It was all...
it wasn't like this show.
Yeah, it was all application and everything else. Well, I didn't want to forget all that stuff before I had to start putting it in.
Right.
And I had to wait for all that stuff to get cleared through visas and everything else. So I'm like, well, crap. What am I going to do? I'm going to forget all this stuff because that's how it is, right?
You
get trained on something, you don't use it, and then, you know, it's like my marriage. That's why we didn't have a kid for 9 years.
Wow.
But
that's why you haven't had another one since.
So, so I built my brother in, and I built Adam Whitmore in because I had to test it, and I think the bio line on my brother is test, 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 test. So,
I didn't click onto it.
Yes.
I didn't feel the need.
But that was the purpose. I just had to build someone into there just so I could figure out what I was doing. And that was part of the frustration, too, was I built them in. Everything worked out fine. Then when I started putting the players in, that's when it got all mucked up.
Yeah. They're still in there, and you can't get out.
No,
get them out of there.
I have to delete them out. It's one of the things I'm doing the rest of this week to get ready for the roster. But
so there you go.
Yep.
Jake Benigni and Adam Whitmore need to go
take
screenshots while they can.
Yes, because they're about to get released.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, I wonder if that'll actually show up in the transactions.
My plan is to release them the proper way that I'm supposed to release them, again, to practice on them first. So we'll see.
Interesting.
Yep.
So anything else with the paperwork and all that mess?
No, most of that coach did all that stuff, the work visas and the contracts. And, of course, obviously, Patafi did the physicals and everything else. So much freaking paperwork. It's scary. Scary, scary, scary. So
So I know the players, once they got in town, they all had their physicals. So do you then get the list of, you know, their height and weight and all that stuff? So what you put in LeagueStat is up to date and official based on their weigh-ins when they get to camp?
Yep.
Cool. That'll be interesting to see how guys ebb and flow and their weights. And well, obviously their heights probably won't change. But
that actually changes too, because I've actually been in contact not only LeagueStat but with HockeyDB. Because a lot of the guys will say, dude, my hockey DB is so messed up. Can you help me with this? Hometowns are messed up. If you're at the season ticket holder thing.
Mm-hmm. Bowl you.
Yeah. So there's things messed up. Alan Yorks pulled me aside. He's like, dude, I am not 205 pounds. I have never been 205 pounds.
I saw that. I'm like, with what? Was that with all your equipment on?
He's like, can you fix that? And other guys are like, I think Obermeier said, I am over 6 feet tall. I'm listed as 5'11", because someone probably added it into HockeyDB when he was
18.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even 16.
Yeah. Starting in juniors.
Yes. And so no one ever fixed it. And then someone in league stat, instead of doing the physical thing, might have just copied it over from HockeyDB. So now it's in the ECHL as Obermeier's 5'11". So, yeah. I've gone in and fixed a lot of that stuff already for the Iceman in the ECHL, but I'm also in contact with HockeyDB to get a lot of the hometowns fixed.
You should also contact Elite Prospects. That's the other really good site. That's a really good reference for stats and stuff. That is a go-to place.
Well, I'll start with that, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So, also inside Iceman HQ, you mentioned it a little bit earlier in the on-air portion of the show, talking about Rickard doing the three stars of the game, and we've talked about a little bit about it off the air in past weeks. But talk a little bit about plans for changes of the game night experience, you know, more contests, a little cutback on touring acts perhaps, and what the post game, how that's all going to work, things like that.
Actually, I think there's more touring acts.
Really?
Yes. There will be no Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But no, Bridges has got a full slate of stuff going on. Last year they went for the big bang. This year, they're just spreading out all the acts over the whole season. So that's part of it there. Rickard will be interviewing the star of the game instead of myself coming down or doing it from the booth. I'm just going to go right into post-game show. And so Rickard will be at the bench for the Iceman star of the game.
So literally, Tommy will announce the three stars, and then Rickard will grab the number one star as he's leaving the ice and talk to him over the PA right
because
away.
Because we are losing so many people for that interview just because of
technology
issues and everything else. So, and it won't be on the radio. So if you want to hear from the star of the game, you've got to stay in the building. It's only going to be in the building. And I will just go right into the post-game show and post-game wrap-up.
Gotcha.
Also, Steven Rickard will be interviewing Coach at the end of each period. So first
really?
Intermission, second intermission, that 1 minute that is designated for all the players to clear
get
into the locker room. And that 1 minute, he will be on the bench, and he will interview Coach.
Very cool.
Yes.
Whose idea was that?
I believe that was a Brian Patafi idea, but don't quote me on that.
But Pyle's on board and likes
the
idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Just going to have to remind him, no salty language.
We'll see how if the guys play bad.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It could get really exciting. But that's not FCC. That's just family. So
yeah.
What other change? Oh, another change for the away games and for the home games as well. It'll affect more people on the away games. I'm not doing a 30-minute pregame show. It just...
That's a lot of time to kill.
It's not as much as a lot of time to kill, because you do enough prep work to do that. But I feel like you do a 30-minute pregame show, and then you've blown your wad.
Yeah.
But
well, that's true.
All,
you know,
the interesting details and everything else that you could share during the broadcast, you've
already
spent in the pregame show.
Right.
And I don't understand, if our game time is 7:15, why we go on radio at 6:45.
Yeah.
So we will be on air right at 7 o'clock. And 7 o'clock is radio time. Puck drops at 7:15.
How long will the postgame show be?
No more than 15 minutes. We're just going to wrap it up, put a nice little bow on everything, and sign off, because we are also trying to do a lot of stuff with Main Gate. And also with the Corner Club. Have you ever heard of the Corner Club?
No.
Drew has. The Corner Club is a bar inside the Ford Center.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what they called it. It just opened like at the tail end of last season or something.
I think it's been open the whole entire time.
Was it really?
No one knew about it.
Well, I know the first season, it definitely wasn't. That was like an empty space that the ushers used to change clothes and stuff. But
yeah, it's a fully functional bar, and we're actually going to have players and coaches, and not every game, but we're going to do post-game shows down there where I'm going to be set up, I'm going to interview Coach, and then we're going to have anywhere from 2 to 6 players come in and do a post-game interview right down there in the corner club.
Cool. So you do your 10 to 15 minutes on air and
yep.
then go downstairs.
Then we'll wrap it up and I'll just go running right downstairs. So
better hope the elevator works.
And it, post-game shows are awesome for the guy that got out of work late and he missed the whole game.
Yeah.
So you get to catch him up on the action in 15 minutes. But other than that, you already done did seen everything. There's really not anything, you know, other than going to make a sandwich, there's really not anything left to do. So I'm just going to wrap it up. And the other thing I will focus on is I'm not going through all the NHL scores. I'm not going through all the AHL scores. I don't know if I'm going to hit all the ECHL scores.
Maybe
I'm going to focus on
division.
Our division. Right. Yes, our division, who's coming into town as it affects our team.
Right.
I doubt if I'm going to deal with the West. There's other opportunities to talk about the West, but I don't feel the need to bring it up because they don't affect us in any way until the championship game.
Right.
So now if someone had like 4 goals or something like that, I'll share it. Interesting like that. But I kind of like your earlier segment with the Birds and the BJs. That's kind of my focus too, is I'll focus on the affiliates. I will probably spend more time on Springfield's divisional rivals than I will on the West Coast of the ECHL.
Yeah.
And I also will focus a little bit on stuff going on in Owensboro with their travel teams and also a little bit with the Thunder travel, just to keep it all within our community.
Cool. I like that. I think
that
cultivating that relationship between youth hockey and the Icemen is huge. And you have to – I mean, it's really a grassroots – thing.
Yep.
You have to look at that. That's your future fan base. That's how you're going to expand your fan base. Is you get a kid that comes to one Iceman game, loves it, and decides he wants to try hockey. Well, if he goes out there and plays and enjoys it, then you probably got a new fan for life.
Yep.
And that's it's not that there was necessarily a disconnect in the past. It's just that really wasn't. It doesn't seem like there was a real active relationship. You'd have the occasional intermission scrimmage where you'd have the mites come out or whatever, but that was pretty much it. There wasn't a whole lot of interaction. But I think the more you can do as far as even just things like that, just mentioning them on air, that's huge. Just general awareness of people going, oh, yeah, there is a high school team here. Oh, yeah, the Thunder, you know, oh, well, what is that? Where can I get more information?
And then as far as the NHL goes, I'm just going to focus on all the maniacs that I know, the teams that they follow. I'll give the update. So we'll do the Leafs. We'll do the Devils. We'll do the Blackhawks. We'll do the Blues.
Preds,
Red
Wings.
Yeah, for Jeff.
There's some Red Wings fans here. Evil Red Wings fans.
If I followed you in the Maniac Asylum, and I know you're a fan, like Troy Seibert is a huge fan of the Blackhawks, et cetera, then Jeff Meisenhauser over in Owensboro is a big Preds fan, so I know that you're listening to the show, so I can give you that update.
Got to get the Bruins update for your friend Aaron.
And
for the Scammon family. I saw on Facebook they went over to Columbus and saw the Bruins play the Blue Jackets. They went over there wearing their filthy B jerseys. that's terrible.
That's fantastic.
They did that in Detroit, they'd get their butts kicked.
Well, I don't know, because have you seen any Detroit home games this year?
A lot of empty seats.
A lot of empty seats. That poor town, man.
Don't get me started on Hockey Town.
Okay. Yeah, don't get me started on Hockey Town either. They preempted the Stanley Cup
for
show
fireworks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classless.
Terrible.
Hockey Town.
So,
anyways,
last bulletin inside Iceman HQ. Just in general, your thoughts, the mood in the office, any other interesting observations? I think there's really a sense of excitement among the fan base.
Uh-huh.
And Patafi has talked about it on the air that he's excited about the season. And Pyle is obviously excited. Just in general in the office, because there are certain people who we will not mention on air, but they've talked about, I've heard that there's all this unrest over all the changes and the team's going down the crapper and blah, 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 blah. And well, frankly, that's all BS, correct?
Yeah. the mood in the office 4 weeks ago was what the fan base was now, super excited and everything else. Then all the work hit. So now everyone's exhausted and crotchety. I mean, it's just it's not a happy place right now.
It's crunch time.
But it's not in a bad way. It's just everyone's working and everyone's trying to get, you know, the deadline's coming up and, you know, it's the first night and it's the opening night and everyone wants everything to be perfect. So it's not a good place to be right now.
But about the product on the ice.
Oh,
everyone,
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
the general direction of the team.
And it's just people are just tired, you know, just ramping it up and everything else. So it's everyone's having fun and everything else. It's just it's at that point now where, you know, like we're still waiting for a lot of the Igloo merchandise to come in that got ordered four months ago. Yes. So we did our due diligence. Jennifer's done a fantastic job. Some of the stuff that she's got coming in and everything else, but it just takes time to get this stuff shipped in. It was 2 weeks ago, we had all the sales guys and the sales girls were unloading all the new jerseys that came in.
Yeah, you mentioned it on Iceman Live. Okay. I like that.
We had a semi-truck out there with 57 boxes of jerseys, and we made the Smurf line, and we had to carry it all down into the basement. So it's just that time. There's none of this, that's not my job. You know, I'm welcoming guests when they come in the front door because everyone else is running off to get season tickets.
Everything is everyone's job.
It's pretty crazy right now.
Hmm. That's on the topic of merchandise. I like the EI shirts. Uh-huh. Have the italicized EI on.
Yes.
And did you see the comment that smelly, stinky, terrible comments fan Don Brecht said about that? He said you need to get two people sit side by side wearing the EI shirts,
and then
get someone with an Ohio State shirt that has the O, so you can sing Old McDonald.
Perfect. I like that. That's some good thinking for a Fort Wayne fan.
that's about the extent of his thinking, I think.
So, I know EI. That reminds me of something. EIEIO.
Yeah.
So, way to rock it down with that seventh grade mentality there.
Yeah. We've been watching too many Geico commercials.
Guns and Hoses.
Guns and Hoses.
Fantastic. Wasn't it absolutely fantastic?
It was awesome. The place was
so
packed.
So fantastic, we couldn't even do half the stuff we planned.
Yeah, no kidding. The place was packed. They raised nearly $8,000 for 911 Gives Hope. That's just awesome. And the atmosphere was absolutely electric. It was a really good hockey game, too. It was scoreless first period. The Hoses scored the only goal in the second period not long after. There were back-to-back breakaways, and both teams' goalies stood tall.
Yep. Chris and Chris.
Man, it was crazy. The atmosphere went after one breakaway, and he gets stoned, and they go the other way, and he gets stoned, too. That place was going nuts. And then the Hoses scored. The Guns scored twice early in the third period, including one on a penalty shot when someone covered the puck in the crease.
Yep, that's one of my favorite calls to make.
Yeah.
And, Pat Fornetten, fantastic little dipsy-do in the backhand move, and baked Chris Lemon right out of his boots, and it was a beautiful goal.
Yeah, so the Guns go up 2-1, but then the Hoses storm back. They scored twice to win 3-2, including the dramatic game-winning goal with 19.7 seconds left. It was like a script you couldn't write.
Yep.
If you said, "Oh well, we've got
movie
this
script.
We got this charity game, and there's these two teams, and they've been practicing a little bit, and they've improved a lot since the last time they played," but you know, this is how it's going to happen. It's going to go back and forth. You're going to have a penalty shot. You're going to have breakaways where neither team scores. You're going to have the game-winning goal in the last 20 seconds. And you'd say, "You're full of it." No, that's not going to happen.
Eric Tanner with the game-winning goal, and what I really liked about it was, I don't know how much you guys saw of it from the crowd, but the Guns came in with a great scoring chance, and Chris Lemon made a fantastic kick save, and the Guns player that was coming in actually tripped over Chris while he made that save, and that shot was so powerful it hit the leg pads and kicked all the way out to the blue line,
and that's where
Eric Tanner picked it up, and he was gone, and it was all started on a Chris Lemon save that he shot the rebound 60 feet away from the net,
so
while a Gun player goes flying over him into the end board.
So if you're the official scorer, do you give Lemon an assist?
I didn't
really possess the puck.
Yeah, I don't know about that. So I think it was fine just the way it was, but it was an amazing setup.
Yeah, it was such a cool atmosphere. It was a really entertaining game, which definitely helped. But the atmosphere in general, the stands were packed, everybody was into it. The crowd was probably 70-30 in favor of the Hoses, I would say.
I couldn't tell. 60-40.
I
got on that ice, and it was so electric, you couldn't even hear anything. And we had already planned out to have the Hoses players, quote, pay me off, unquote, after the first police penalty.
And I had this whole thing set up where I was going to play the show me the money from Jerry Maguire.
And I was going to dance to the Macarena and everything else, and it was such a fantastic game. and it was so loud in there, you kind of forgot all about it. I was so focused on the game, and we were having fun, but it was a great game. I totally forgot about all that stuff, so I missed all the cues and everything.
I enjoyed you dancing, though. Every now and then, yep. I'd look down, and I'd be playing a song, and you'd be dancing on ice.
And that was about the only time that I could hear the music.
It was when you were dancing. Did you hear the Three Stooges intro?
Nope.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate. The fans enjoyed that.
Yeah, good. And that's what it was all about, was for the fans to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But
the thing that made me nervous was when one of the guns, and I don't know who it was, but one of the guns got a penalty, was in the box. Then there was another penalty called on the guns. And when the penalty box door opened, the first guy came back out of the box to argue the call.
Yep.
And I played the baby crying with Big Girls Don't Cry. And then I got to thinking, that's a cop I just bought. That might not have been a very good idea. It's a good thing he doesn't know what vehicle I drive.
There is just a couple of guys that really ruined it for me. That just, we had told the both captains, we said, hey, look, this is for charity. We're all here to have fun. But you got to realize, you guys are playing hockey. The fans are coming here to watch you hockey. There are three people in this building that are working. Me, Pat Duff, and Brian Vall. The referees are the only ones working, and we're not getting paid because it's for charity, and we wanted our pay donated to charity. I don't want to hear any complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to hear it. Just if we give you a penalty, we told them we're going to call it, you know, loose. We're going to have fun. We're going to let you guys play. But if we call a penalty, just go to the box. And just a couple of guys that took it way too serious and showing us up and everything else. And it was classless, and it just a couple of guys were just a couple of knuckleheads. So
well, and I think part of it too is, you know, you can tell them that, and they, who knows, the guys that were the perpetrators may have even been on board with that idea going into it. But once you get into that moment and the atmosphere, you get that adrenaline running, and your emotions get the best of you. And you know, it's not excusing what they did, but I understand that even if you wouldn't normally do that, in the heat of that moment with all those fans there and the atmosphere that was there, it's definitely a different animal. I mean, that's probably...
Well, it is and it isn't. But in the heat of the moment, when you do that as a referee, I have to give you another 2-minute penalty.
Yeah, that's very
true. And if you do it again in the heat of the moment, I have to give you a 10-minute penalty.
Right.
And if you do it again in the heat of the moment, I have to give you a game misconduct.
Yeah.
So I either have to...
Because it's USA hockey rules.
Exactly. Well, that's ECHL rules of abuse of officials. That's every league's rules.
Right.
So this idea that in the heat of the moment you're allowed to complain is not in it. There are rules against that at every level of hockey.
Right.
So it was just nonsense. So
it's not an excuse. It's just that's why I think that contributed to them doing it, but that doesn't mean it's okay to do it.
It's not a contributed to it. What contributed to it was they were immature. They didn't know what they were talking about. So they're ignorant. They were immature.
That's a bad combination.
And they were poor sportsmen. So it had nothing to do with the heat of the moment.
They should sign up for the Leafs.
What are you talking about? We took David Clarkson didn't even appeal his suspension. So
that's true.
He took his 10 games and we're 6-1, baby.
But anyway, it was a really fun time. Felt like an old school Iceman game.
It felt like, and that's what we pumped it on this show. We pumped it on Iceman Live. We told people if you were an Iceman fan before, because you hear people complaining about it every once in a while on Maniacs Asylum. I have good friends that were there in the AHA days and in the first CHL days, and they say, you know, the Ford Center isn't like Old Swander, and it isn't. A lot of those traditions moved over. A lot of those friendships moved over. I'm glad we're in the Ford Center because we're a bigger fan base. But if you wanted to feel that again, or if you wanted to feel what we're talking about for the first time, you had to go to that game.
Right.
And we were right 100%.
Oh, it was rocking. It was so much fun. From my perspective, doing the music for it, with the Iceman games, it was us against them.
Yep.
You know, there was a clear good and a clear bad. And because of that, there was there's a lot of stuff that I used for Iceman games that I couldn't use for this game because there wasn't an us and a them. I didn't really want to take sides because it's a charity game. It's for fun. There's fans of both teams there, and you don't want to take sides. Now the baby crying was just a spur of the moment thing. The situation that didn't mean I was endorsing the hoses or anything. Just because I made fun of the guns, I made fun of the referees too. So.
Yep.
you know, everything is fair game if you do something that deserves it. But it was a bit of a challenge putting the music together because I went back through all the stuff I used to play. I had like 1,200 files that I would take to Iceman games. And there was a lot of stuff that I couldn't use because it was directed at the enemy. So there was a lot of stuff that I had to shelf, but there was also a lot of stuff that I thought kind of worked. I thought it was ironic to be able to play the cops theme for when the cops got guns got a penalty. And some others, you know, play an authority song and things like that. But my favorite part was the dueling goal songs of using Rock and Roll Part 2 for the guns, which was Kyle Fornetton's request.
Okay.
My plan going in was I didn't want to use the same goal song for both teams. So I figured one would get Rock and Roll Part 2 with what I used as the Iceman goal horn at Swander, and then the other team would get the Zombie Nation yep. song that we now use as the Iceman goal song at the Ford Center, and I even used a different goal horn for them. The goal horn that was for that was the horn I used to use when I did the USI Ice Eagles games at Swander. So this way each team had their own kind of flavor with their celebration, so I thought it was really fun, though. I love getting to play Rock and Roll Part 2 and the place rocking out to that. But I got to admit, the Zombie Nation song that the Iceman now uses as the goal song, that works really well as a goal song.
Yep.
You know, when the whole controversy over changing the Iceman goal song happened, you know, I wanted Rock and Roll Part 2 to stick because it was our tradition. But in the absence of that, I fully endorsed the Zombie Nation song as being the replacement. And we didn't get it for 1 year. But then when they finally did the fan vote and everything, that was what I voted for. That was what I pushed people to vote for. And I never fully knew how well it worked because up until now at the Ford Center, I've been way up in the press box. Okay. You can't hear the fans at all, hardly up there. But being at Swander where you're right there with everyone, it works really well.
Yeah.
The fans really get into it. Everybody's clapping along to it. Some people are even doing the "you suck" chant that the Iceman fans now do to it at the pause in the one beat. So it was a lot of fun. And I already talked to Kyle Fornetton. If assuming they do this again next year, he said that they'd love to have me do the music again. And I can't wait to do it again. And yeah, if you didn't go this time and they do it again next year, hopefully I'll be there again. Steven will be there again. It'll be another old school night of Iceman atmosphere, and
again,
it'll be well worth the $10 and all for a great cause.
Kicking it back to the Iceman coach pile, so many of the players came out. They didn't make a big deal out of it, but they mingled through the crowd and everything else. They shook a lot of hands. They gave out some autographs, and again, they're class professionals. So
yeah,
they went out there. Well,
and they were getting into it too. I mean, Drew was saying, Soupy here was saying that when they scored the game winner at the very end, that Dale and a couple of the other guys were just going bonkers because you get caught up in the moment. You know, it may quote unquote just be a charity game, but you get there and it's a competitive, dramatic game, and man, you get into it, and it was a really fun, cool atmosphere. Yeah, high five, fist bumps all around.
Yeah, and then the next day I got chirped the crap out about all of my official
calls. Officiating?
Oh my gosh, I couldn't walk into any room anywhere without the Iceman. Just like, I mean, I think even Guy Lapine came up to me like, "You called many penalty, I don't know." I was like, "Jeez, man, come on."
Well,
I'm like, you understand it's non-check, right? It's a non-check game. And they just looked at me weird and like,
you're talking to a guy who's 6'4", 220 pounds. He doesn't understand the concept of non-check.
So, yeah, and then next thing you know, the next day at 7 in the morning, coach is calling me, "Hey, can you ref scrimmage?" Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And like I said on the Asylum, that's proof that he was not watching your officiating.
Yeah, well, it's proof that everyone thinks the officials suck until you need one.
Yeah. So the tempo, do you think the doing Guns N' Hoses helped prep you for doing the blue and white scrimmage?
No.
Totally different?
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's...
I could have done... Yeah, there's... No.
Doesn't matter what you would have done, nothing would have prepared you?
No. What prepared me... I actually didn't work that hard at Guns N' Hoses because I was the lineman. Now, Brandon Uzerich that came out and reffed...
That was the scrimmage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blue and white.
Right.
He skated... crazy, but I was just the linesman.
So you're going blue line to blue line, and for the most part,
just staying at my own blue line because I had Pat Duff on the
other
side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it might have helped out a little bit. No, what really got me into shape was the two 40-minute scrimmages I got to do by myself at the Ford Center, and I did my No, I didn't. I stayed out of the way. So, but I still had to skate up and down the ice.
Right, and repeat pucks. And...
Yes, and I wanted to be somewhat close. So, but I wasn't at every blue line before they crossed. And I got chirped at there, too. Like, you totally missed that icing. And I said... And I was still skating from the other blue line.
I'm trying not to get killed
exactly.
out here. What are you talking about?
I'm keeping the play in front of me. I'm not calling, not making a call 65 feet away about whether it's offsides or not in scrimmage that coach is watching. I'm not stopping play.
You don't want to become a problem here.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Guns N' Hoses, you and Duff are both armbanded.
Yes.
Vol line. Was that the first time you've ever done a two-ref, one-linesman system?
Yep. I asked Brian if he would do the game with me because Kyle was looking for referees
and you couldn't get Maddie Spate to come over.
Couldn't. And then Kyle had already talked to Pat, and so Pat came by and we were talking about it. He said, you want to two ref it and one line it? And I said, yeah, I've never done that before. So really, really neat system. I think that is how U.S. college is done.
Really?
Yes.
So you don't have to pay an extra official. You're just paying one of essentially, you're paying a linesman a little more than you would pay.
Yep, but you're also getting the behind-the-scenes
right.
call. So
exactly.
That you're not getting that. The linesman can make a call. He can't make a call, but he can report a major penalty to a referee.
Right.
That's standard throughout all leagues.
Yeah.
But when you do the two-ref system, you've got that.
Extra.
You know, if you've got a guy that does a minor or something like that, that's just being a D-bag,
yeah.
You can take care of it from behind. Whereas, I mean, there's times where, as a linesman, you just see a guy just chop the skates out behind the play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a major. It's not a slash. And you go and report it to the ref. Hey, just keep an eye on number five. He took a cheap shot. You know, if this explodes, this
right.
is the reason why. But I can't call a linesman can't call a penalty in that situation. So
right.
It gives that two-ref feel that the NHL has, but it also... Yeah, it saves money.
Yeah. I wonder if that's an approach that the minors might look at. Because the biggest barrier to adopting the four-man system has always been, just cost. You don't want to – it's not so much paying an extra guy to be on the ice to ref. It's all the logistical stuff, the travel, the hotels, things like that, that just explodes the cost over the course of a season. I wonder if they would look at doing two refs, one line, because then you've got – the same number of bodies, and really the only extra cost is in paying one guy to ref instead of line. But then you give up the fact that when there's 2 6'5", 220-pound behemoths fighting, you only have one linesman to break
it
up.
I don't think it's necessary at this level. And I think part of it is the rules have changed a lot. Everyone's got visors on. Third man in the fight is a game suspension, so you don't have to worry too much about craziness happen. You don't have to worry too much about what's behind the play because again, if someone does different from college hockey, if someone does sweep out Matt Krug's feet from underneath him, when the next shift, that guy's going to get pummeled.
Yeah,
you just know
true.
It's by Kruger or someone else. It's going to take care of itself.
Yeah,
and you don't really need to. As much as I hate it, the Icemen don't need that power play because a defenseman got his feet taken out 80 feet away from the puck behind
true.
The play.
Yeah.
You hope that a linesman sees it just so that when we do retaliate,
it's understood.
And they don't give us the instigator or something like that because they kind of understand some of that gray area, some of that it's a rule book, but you got to manage the game kind of thing.
And let the game police itself.
And then also – I actually don't like the two refs. The hardest thing about the two ref system is being consistent. The hardest thing to be as a ref is consistent.
Right.
Calling it for
within
60
yourself.
Minutes. Within yourself for 60 minutes. And then you get add a partner to it. And that you got. It's really interesting to manage a game. And especially at that level, I would just rather have one referee, to be honest.
Yeah, because you don't want to. You start overthinking it because you're trying to try to be consistent with your partner. And if he's doing the same thing, then you just end up overthinking it. And officiating is just like playing, and you need to read and react.
Yep.
If you think about it, you're going to get in big trouble.
I usually tell myself if I had to think about it, it's not a penalty.
Yeah, I think that's.
And the ones that I trust is when my arm is up before I even realize.
Before your brain realizes
it?
Yeah. Do your limbs often do things your brain doesn't tell them to do?
No, not too often.
Only when you're really plastered?
No. I don't need to be really plastered. I tend to trip on stairs quite a bit. Even without ever drinking for days, I just tend to miss stairs.
Gravity is your biggest downfall?
Yes, it is.
Quite literally?
Indeed. Well,
so that's a physics joke.
Redheads are my downfall, but slow, quickly thereafter is gravity.
Soupy in here has got some red hair.
Wow. How about that?
Do I need to leave the studio?
What are you doing after this? Can I go to bed? What time? It's 1 in the morning. Oh, wait a minute. I mean,
it's.
Oh, we can say it because this isn't even on the radio.
Yeah, this is the podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. We've talked through Patafi at this point. Essentially.
Yeah, well, we've talked through that whole hour.
And we only had 10 bullets and 2 little blocks of text.
Yeah, but we also spent 20 minutes on pre-show tangents.
Yeah, that's
the best. Right,
that's
there.
The fun thing about this overtime, though, for those that are still listening to us. We're not going, you know, there's no clock. That's what we're going to, you know, we can just kind of go off and ramble and stream of consciousness, and whatever comes out of our mouths comes out of our mouths. And
I will follow that up with this is just a little caveat to anyone that listens to the podcast. This is where I'm going to sneak some stuff in. This is where I'm going to sneak some of the dirty secrets, because I got to tell you about Coach Pyle. He knows everything. He is like Jesus, except he's got a really good slap shot. I mean, but this guy knows everything. And I got called into the office for one of my tweets this week, and just not in a bad way. He's just like, you know,
you didn't need to say that.
Maybe you shouldn't do this as a professional. And
just sharing something that you think is information fans want to know that maybe Pyle doesn't want the fans to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do anything to. My goal is to give as much access as possible to the fans, because I've been the fan in this market for 5 years.
Right.
So I know how passionate we all are. I know, you know, I can trust what I am saying to get out there. I don't think Coach is new to the area. He doesn't have, you know, he's just relying on what's tried and true.
Right.
So, but he may be listening to the old amusement park show. But I don't think he's going to listen.
I doubt he's got the time in his schedule to listen to the podcast.
For the podcast. So this will be a place where I can, any little nuggets that I uncover,
maybe,
any little tidbits,
maybe
this
we should,
is the place to come and get
we
it.
We should talk smack about him and call it the trash pile.
No. That comment right there was completely Michael Shockley. So, I mean, did you see the guys' faces when I at the round table? Krug's corner when I brought up who's
pulling
playing.
A prank.
Yeah, who's
yeah.
a prank on the bus on Coach Krug, and everyone
it was like they were. It was the race to not it.
All right, I don't even think Kennedy even wanted the microphone by his
mouth. He was like,
he didn't even want to say
out
no
of this.
Comment. Yeah. So no, you can go ahead with that nickname. No, sir.
I'll just stick to the birds and the BJs.
And let me say too, with Coach Pyle, he is. He is super nice. He is a super, super nice guy. And he's not mean. He really isn't. The players talk about he's a player's coach, which is interesting because I thought Coach Crom was a player's coach. But these guys are saying that he's a player coach. And what it comes down to is he tells you one time you're doing it wrong. And then the second time, you don't get another chance.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just the way he operates.
Well, I think people appreciate that. That straight shooter, straightforward, no nonsense, you know. Sometimes it may sting a little bit if someone is that blunt with you, but ultimately there's no question then about what the expectations are. There's no question about what's going to happen. So I love the fact that he's such an open book and he's willing to talk to anybody. And I mean, he'll talk to any fan listening to this. If you have a question about why a player was cut, go ask him. You
just
know,
be prepared for the answer.
Yeah, exactly. You might not like the answer, but he'll give you the legitimate, truthful answer. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And it was like with the Bissonnette thing, you know, I sent him on Monday, I sent him an email and said, would you be willing to discuss the cuts, some of the more, you know, controversial cuts, the unpopular cuts, and kind of explain them you know, on the record so that maybe fans will settle down a little bit. And his short and simple response was, no, but if they want to know, they can ask me. And he means that 100%. Yep. If you don't, if you have a problem, if you don't understand something, ask him. And he will walk up to you sometimes. And if not, you shouldn't be afraid of walking up to him, because he seems to genuinely like talking to the fans and kind of taking the pulse of the room. And he's going to shoot straight. He's not going to BS you. And you may not always like what he says, but you got to respect him for saying it.
We're at headquarters. It was in September, and some fan came in or somebody came in, and Pyle just said, "How you doing? You're a fan." And he just got, like, what a train wreck last year was. And he just started just talking the way he talks. And I was in my office, and I'm just shaking my head. Cause, I mean, Joe Blow fan just walks in, and he's getting, like, all the dirt.
Yeah.
And I texted him while he was talking, and I texted, "Don't ever run for politics."
Yeah. Yeah. And, you talk about me not having a filter.
Oh, my. He does have a filter. He just. But
it,
like,
lets
you said,
everything
it,
through.
No, he just tells the truth. Yeah. And where people. And it's not. He's an amazing man because he's totally tactful and totally truthful and totally honest about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of stark that you aren't, you
yeah.
know, when you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, holy crap.
Yeah.
I hide a few more things.
Beat around the bush a little more.
Yeah, I played a little close to the vest more than this guy does.
So. Yeah. The thing that to me that really stands out about it is you get so used to it as a sports fan. Everything is so close
coach
to the
speak.
Vest. Yeah. So much coach speak, so many cliches. And like Patafi talks about the whole, well, everything's an upper body or lower body injury and blah, 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 blah. And Patafi's that same way. He's very open and honest about what the injuries are, you know, within reason.
Yep.
And Pyle is that way, too, about his decisions with the rosters. And I'm sure during the season, you know, we'll find out. But I'm sure during the season it's going to be that way, too.
I agree.
Think we should wrap this up?
Yeah, I'm just hoping I didn't lose my job.
I don't think so.
I'm not worried about
it. So how many, do you know how many people in the office listen to, not the podcast, but the amusement park?
It does get turned on.
Does it really?
Yep.
Cool.
Probably a little bit more when we did
the live one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was awesome, and OA did a fantastic job loaning us that banner and everything. And we put Bubba Keg and Boa Ben on. Yeah, everyone had that one on, so.
That's cool. So I guess we should have done it on the air. At some point, we should shout out to everyone in the office who's listening.
Yeah.
Screw them.
Yep.
Especially Vol.
Yes, indeed.
How are we going to wrap this up?
I don't
know.
We
already did see
you
on the
radio.
We're
in overtime. We just need a goal horn to go off. And that's it. That's the end. I'm not doing a sign-off. I'm not even getting paid for this.
I did the buzzer. You said that's it. That's the end. And then you keep on talking.
Well, no, I thought that was
pick
a practice.
Pick
thought
up
that
on
was...
my subtle cue.
I thought that was like the I actually meant one that wasn't a horrible personal sound effect.
Can you say music bomb for me, please?
Music bomb.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.